Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway, so get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Yeah, thank you. And you're not going to believe this, but spring is just around the corner at Branch Lake in Ellsworth, Maine. We heard frogs today. The ice just went out yesterday. The ladybug infestation has come back to our place down there. Mm-hmm. And spring is really looking close. And I think it'll be just a short time. Right, Bob?
Well, let's see. The first day of spring was what? Month ago?
What's it? Anyway, we know it's going to happen any day. We
been
really
cold.
Do.
Been cold.
Actually
cold.
Saw a fisherman out on Branch Lake.
Did you really?
Just the day the ice was almost out, he was out there casting it up against the ice floe.
Oh, really?
And he out of a canoe.
Out of a canoe. He lasted about a half an hour and he went back in.
He had enough for a while.
He was there all morning.
You're right.
Actually.
Okay. Anyway, we have a jam-packed show tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned and listen to us on WVOM, the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. And we're great to be back here from sunny Florida. We love you back in the state of Maine. And Jim, nice to have you with us tonight. Our chief engineer, Jim Banjo Layton. Take a bow, Jim.
Well, thank you, Paul. And welcome aboard, folks. Pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee or whatever. It's going to be a great show tonight.
You betcha. And Norm Plord, Mr. Chili, is with him in the studio. And,
yes,
of course,
sir.
My esteemed co-host is a registered master Maine guide. He's written a lot of great fishing books. We call him Mr. Trout, Mr. Robert Francis Lehman.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I like your hat.
Do you? I bet you do.
Very nice. Yep. Very nice.
I'll try to wear something more flashy next week.
I like it. Looks good. Our guest tonight, I'd like to introduce him. Again, I said we had a jam-packed show. We have a phone guest. We have a studio guest. We have two studio guests. And our first guest, the main attraction, is Mike Haggerty. Mike is president of the Penobscot Fly Fishers. He's a retired Navy man, and we always like to have retired Navy men here, don't we, Jim?
Oh, yes. Even
Army
though
guy.
I was Army,
okay.
My son was Navy.
Oh, okay. Mike, nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. How come we got all these Navy men on here tonight?
I don't know. And we'll be talking to Mike. He's with the Penobscot Fly Fishers, and we'll be talking about their activities in just a second. And at 7:30 tonight, we're going to be hooking up to Paul Fuller, who writes a column about upland bird hunting in the Northwood Sporting Journal, and he's going to have a little surprise. We'll tell you about that later. Our other guest tonight, somebody very dear to my heart, my bride Diane is going to make a cameo appearance, and she has an interesting little short story to tell. So we have a good show lined up tonight, and if you'd like to be on our program tonight, we have a toll-free number that we invite you to dial to be on the program.
1-800-966-1039, and you got to dial the whole number, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039.
And if you have a question or comment for any of our guests, we welcome your calls. Right now, though, it is time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. As I said, the ice is out of Branch. Talking to Greg Burr, the ice is out of Tunk Lake and a lot of those down east lakes,
Toddy.
I guess. But Moosehead, I imagine, is there's still ice fishing
right
there.
July 1st.
Yeah, no doubt. Interesting to see what happens to Moosehead this year. But,
yes.
And if you have any ice out stories to tell us in your neck of the woods, we'd be glad to hear from you. A couple other things. We've had some recent losses of some great folks this month. As you know, Lefty Cray, who's kind of an icon in the fly fishing community, I think you know who he is, Mike, right?
Oh, sure. So who doesn't?
Yeah, right. Anyway, Lefty passed on at 92, I think he was. And we have a gentleman, Paul Fuller, who writes for the Journal, who fished a number of times with Lefty. And we're going to connect with him at 7:30, and he'll tell you a little bit about his experience with the famous Lefty Cray. And my bride Diane spent some time with Barbara Bush. And this would be probably a good time to tell your story. Barbara Bush passed away, a classy lady. You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or in between, most people acknowledge the fact that she was a gracious first lady who really left her mark, and just a wonderful, wonderful woman who gave womanhood a great name, I think. And she's be missed by a lot of folks. But, Di, you had a chance to meet her. Tell us about that.
I had 20 minutes with her and alone.
And you didn't know it was going to happen, right?
I knew that I would see her, but I didn't know that I'd have 20 minutes with her.
Yeah, well, how did you happen to spend 20 minutes with Barbara
Bush?
Well,
teacher friend invited me to go to Kennebunkport, where her daughter owned a high-end salon, and her daughter, Tasha, did Barbara Bush's hair. Walker's Point was handy.
So you were in there to get your hair done, right?
Well, no, this was set up. Tasha ran it by Mrs. Bush first and then asked if her mother and her mother's teacher friend would come down and could meet Barbara. And
so you're sitting there and Barbara walks in, right?
Long story short, yeah. Tasha, my friend, and myself were there. And
you sat beside Barbara?
If you keep interrupting me, this is going to last longer.
So okay. I've been spanked.
Yeah.
All right. Cut to the chase.
To the chase.
All right. Barbara comes in.
Anyway, no.
Oh.
No. The Tasha invited her mother into the chair in the next room to have her hair done first. And I look out the window in this huge limousine with Barbara and the Secret Service drove up, and in walked Barbara Bush and came into the little room, which was separate from the salon,
right,
and sat down beside me, and we had 20-minute conversation. And I didn't have time to ask her any questions because she was so interested in me what I did.
Yeah.
Found out I'd been was a teacher.
Well, you always kind of admired her before you met her, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes, but it was a thrill.
Must have been. Were you nervous?
Because she puts you at ease.
Yeah.
She puts you right at
ease. Yeah. You're a great admirer of hers, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why'd you admire Barbara Bush?
Because I knew that she was the rock of the family, and everyone admired her and respected her, and she just exemplified.
You know what her family called her? The Enforcer.
Well,
she must have been a hard lady, right?
But her thing was literacy, and of course, she was...
Kind of reminds me of you a little bit. You're a really hard driver, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Hey, thanks. That was good.
Bye.
Yeah. All right, Jim, you have any questions for Diane? Anyway.
What do they call you, Diane?
Enforcer number two. Anyway, Barbara Bush was a gracious lady, and we send our condolences to all of those who loved her. She was a wonderful lady.
She sure was.
And Lefty Cray was a wonderful guy, too. I'm going to talk about him in just a few minutes. Right now, though, we have to remind you, too, turkey season begins. Youth Day is this Saturday. Now, Mike, you'll be out hunting turkeys, right?
Well, in between fishing.
It's not
my favorite thing.
But, no, but you'll probably
hunt. Do get out. They're all over the place. They're like rats around where
I
live.
Yeah. Well, good. Anyway, turkey season for the rest of us opens up Monday. But if you have a youth day, if you have a youth with you, and you can hunt on opening day Saturday beginning a half hour after sunrise.
That's not tomorrow. That's a week from tomorrow?
That would be the 28th.
Okay.
Saturday. Yeah. Yep. That's a Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday.
Hard to believe. May is almost here. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and do we have any of the famous music that. Oh!
There it is.
There it is. Speak of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time.
I'm the big boss, Vass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Come on, Diane, let's have a yeah.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
These are my reeds.
All right. Bobby Lehman, do you have a fishing report for our listeners tonight?
I certainly do.
Well, give it to us.
All righty. Well, as you mentioned earlier, the lakes are going out, and we had a nice day today and some high north winds, and they're beginning to pile up. South central Maine, it seems to be the line right now, because we got Toddy gone, we got Branch almost gone.
Yeah.
At least up a lake. And then we have Green Lake that's partially gone, from what I understand from Joe Jenkins. I saw Joe the other just a day or two ago, and he said, that son of a gun, that ice is hanging on really late this year, but I think it'll go out the next couple of days, and I think today probably it. If it didn't go, a good portion of it went. And then Phillips, I think, is gone, went out today too, I guess. So there seems to be a line right across there, and there's a lot of ponds down south that have been out that produce some pretty good trout fishing early too. So.
Oh, no kidding. That's good news.
Guess how much water they're running at Grand Lake Stream?
Oh, how about 800?
Through the dam.
800?
Actually, you're pretty close. You're just shy of 800.
That was just a guess, too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think we were talking about that before the
show. We were.
But anyway, that's pretty good. Anyway, that's a lot of water, Paul. That's unfishable.
Yeah.
Too much water. Last week it was 500. It was getting down there, but of course, you know, right now we got all the snow melting in the woods and everything.
It would be dangerous, wouldn't it, Mike, to fish that right now?
I guess.
You get up around 800. It's moving pretty fast.
It's almost into the hatchery. Yeah.
But I was talking to Greg Burr the other day, and since we're going up there for our fin clipping, he's been talking to the paper mill guys. He's trying to get them to lower the flow rate next week.
To get them to lower the flow
rate. So we'll see how that goes. he's promised us good fishing. So
he promised that, Then we have the brooks and streams that are pretty high as well, as you know, especially in central Maine. But some of them are fishable in southern Maine, they say, so I hear. You get out and get some of those salters that run into the bay. Anyway, and the water temperature, of course, is ice cold. Really too cold except for salmon. And you want to get out your streamer flies right now. This is the time. Get those streamer flies out and get on the lakes and go like the wind right now.
Now, what would you recommend? Diane and I have committed ourselves. We are going to get out there very soon on Branch Lake. We didn't last year. We let it go. We're going to get out there. Well, what would you recommend for a streamer fly?
I'm going to give away something right now. Probably I should. My son has really good luck on a fly called the Rochelle.
Rochelle
at Branch Lake.
I was going to say on Branch Lake. I've
on Branch Lake. Yeah.
I don't think I have any of those.
Well, you tie some up. I'll get somebody to tie.
Would you?
Call Bobby. He'll tie one up for you.
Would he? All right.
He might.
Those
are in my trolling flies book. Rochelle.
Oh, take a look at your
under
book.
Look under R. Yes, there's a picture of it there. So really, it's a bucktail.
Anything else besides a Rochelle?
Double A special.
Is a good fly anyway.
Double A special. Always have good luck with double A.
You know what double A stands for?
Two hooks.
No. Aaron Alderman.
Oh.
Aaron Alderman. That fly was came originally from, it was Bilbo B. invented that fly. He and Tom Much put that fly together up to East Grand Lake. Mm. Yep. And you probably read that in my book, you might have.
I did.
Yeah, I thought you might. And so this fellow was, they used to call this guy Aaron Alderman. They called him Hebe. They had a Hebe fly, too. Let me finish.
Who says this program's not educational, right?
Yeah, finish that, Bobby. What else?
So anyway, they tied this fly, this special fly for him that he wanted him to tie. And so they put it together, and they slotted the salmon on it and have ever since.
Yep. Yep.
And you'll find that in my book as well, Trolling Flies, the whole story. Right. The whole story and the fly.
Okay.
And that's my report.
Okay, good report. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Our guest again, if you joined us late, is Mike Hegarty. Mike is the president of Penobscot Fly Fishers. He's an avid outdoorsman and a fanatic fisherman, and he's going to be telling you about some of the programs that are being conducted by PFF. Right now, though, we have a trivia question. We're actually going to give something away.
Whoa.
Now, if you were listening last week, you heard my little mea culpa about the fact that the Sporting Journal has decided it can't give away Northwood Sporting Journal subscriptions every single week because it's just getting too pricey. And Diane, who's on the board of directors, decided that it would be just too much for us to be able to pay that kind of money, so we're going to reduce it to one time a month. And we've already given away this month's Sporting Journal. But what are you laughing at? Bob has graciously agreed not only to think up the trivia question, because I drew a blank this week, he also is going to donate one of his famous, iconic streamer flies, hand-tied by him personally.
Thank you, sir. I will.
Okay. And that's all you're going to get. No Lamborghinis, no 20-horsepower Mercs. Just a wonderful streamer fly. And it's a collector's item. It really is.
What about the Lund out in the parking lot? Who's that going to?
Well, we're
going to
give it next week.
Oh,
give it away next week. Okay, Bob, what's the question?
The question is, name, this could be about streamer flies. So, you know, they're right in.
This is the time of year.
Time of year, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to talk, we've been talking about streamer flies. So tonight, if you can come up with the three materials that go into a hand-tied streamer fly, that is the question. Give us three hand-tied materials,
and there are, any three.
There are seven or eight
but
materials.
Any three,
just
right?
any three, and okay. You will win.
All right, 1-800-966-1039 is the magic number. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most durable outdoor radio program in the state of Maine. We're glad you're aboard tonight, and you're listening to us on 101.3, 103.9, and 1450 AM in Rockland, powerhouse of radio called the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. And Bobby Lehman wants you to answer this question.
Name three materials that go into a hand-tied streamer fly.
And here with an answer on Maine Outdoors is...
Well, I thought we had a caller, but we lost the call, so he'll have to call back in.
He hung up.
He
hung up.
Maybe I said something that offended him. If I did, I deeply apologize.
Red Sox game.
The Red Sox game.
Now.
Well, don't. Yeah.
You think so, wouldn't you?
I think that game's over, right? Oakland won, right?
They did?
I don't know.
Don't know yet.
Just guessing. 6-2, wasn't it?
Don't know yet. It was 1-1 when I left it.
All right. Now, we still have that fly to give away. 1-800-966-1039 is his number. And if you call in right now, we will give away not only Bob's fly, but I'll give away one of my books. What the heck?
There you go.
I'll give away a copy of Maine Angler's Logbook along with Bob's streamer fly.
It'll be an autographed copy, too.
His fly is worth, a couple bucks?
Oh, it's hard to say.
Oh, and my book is worth $17.95. Plus mailing.
And good reading, too.
And now see the phones light up, Bob.
That book did it.
That book did it, right?
No,
I mean, no offense.
Yeah, all the phones.
I love your fly.
Yeah, all the phones are lit up.
Look at them light up.
We got two calls.
Six lines.
They're all lit up. See what that book does,
Diane?
Here
comes another call.
And you made fun of that book. Look at that. Huh?
Why am I always the butt of your jokes?
All right. We're looking for an answer to the question. Bob wants you to tell him at least three materials used in a streamer fly. I mean, anybody who fishes could come up with that, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody. Diane would know the answer to that.
Head, body, tail.
We have a caller.
Do that.
We have a caller.
All right. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hey there.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. This is Mike from out to Warrington.
Okay. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's going on? Welcome back, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Really nice to be back. Truly is, in spite of the cool weather. Nice to be back in Maine. No place like Maine, I'm telling you. I mean, I run away to Florida, but when I come back, I love to be back. What do you think the answer is?
Glad to have you back.
Thank you. What do you think the answer is, Mike?
Boys, I'm not really a fly fisher. My grandfather and my father were, and they tied flies for years, and I've got all their stuff. I'm just going to throw a few things out there and, you know, be gentle on me.
Okay, we'll give it a shot.
I'm going to say feathers, for one.
That's one.
Yep.
Some kind of fur or hair, I would think.
Yep.
And I would think you'd need some kind of tires, thread or line.
Thread is good. That's three.
There you go, Mike. You got it.
And how about a hook to put everything on?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's big.
Yeah,
Ron knows.
See, Mike, faint heart never won fair lady. That wasn't that difficult, was it?
No, Bob, I would love to have one of those barn specials.
Well, that's you nice. I'll see if I can throw one together for you.
What
was your name again so I can put it on? I'll give you a little note with it.
This is Mike.
I appreciate that.
Okay, Mike. We'll personalize it for you.
All right. Congratulations, Mike. And that's a good choice at Barn Special. In fact, I'll tell you a little secret. I fish with Bob Lehman in some of his favorite haunts, and he doesn't use any other streamer fly. That's the only fly he ever uses. It's like Wiggy Robinson with his maple syrup. Wiggy never had anything but a maple syrup. You open up his fly book, it's 100 maple syrups.
Is that right?
I'll cherish that fly book.
You what?
I said, I will cherish that fly.
You will, and it will work.
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to you, Mike. Thanks for listening to the program. And if you'll stay on the line, the Chili Man will get your We'll get your address, and we'll have the fly sent to you. And Diane, who does my books, will also send you a copy of Maine Angler's Logbook.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm not sure. I've got one of your books. I'll have to look to see which one it is.
Okay. Well, if it's Maine Angler's Logbook, let us know, and we'll send you something else.
Backtrack.
Okay, I'll, can I drop you an email?
Sure.
Okay, yep. That's what I'll do.
Okay, vpaulr@tds.net. Okay?
Yeah, it's right in the Sporting Journal, right?
Right.
Yeah, yep. It is. Yeah.
Okay.
But
I'll,
stay on the line because we stay on the line though, Mike, cuz Chili Man has to get your address so Bob can wing that barn special out to you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Have a good show.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Take care.
Hey, you know, I have an idea.
What?
You ought to send him two barn specials, one for show and one for go.
I thought of the same thing.
One for show and one for go. There you go. Isn't it? Jim's giving away all of our stuff, isn't he?
Yeah,
well, you know.
It's nice of Jim, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, all the flies that you've given me, I have on display in my wife's china closet.
Wow.
And
wow,
I don't want to use them.
That's a compliment. Well,
thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But I'd like to have them to use.
Well.
Wow. Good. I tell you. Boy,
I would use them.
Yeah.
That's what those for. Beat up one.
Okay, let's get down to business here. Mike Haggerty, it's good to have you with us. And Penobscot fly fishers have, over the years, I've watched them grow, and they've grown, become a very formidable organization, doing a lot of great things in the fly fishing community. Tell us a little bit about some of your projects, would you, Mike?
Sure. Well, we just finished up our winter fly tying series, which we do starting in January. We go from basic to intermediate. And then we do some streamer fly tying toward the end as we get ready for trolling season. Of course, we do the cabin fever reliever the end of February, beginning of March, which is a focus on youngsters and getting them engaged in the outdoors. We were talking a little bit about that earlier. That's one of our big events of the year. And then coming up this week, we have two major events. We have fin clipping at Grand Lake Stream, assisting IFNW in clipping some young salmon. And that's up at 25-26 this week. And then the 29th is another big event we have, which is our Fly Fishing 101 course, which is a day-long course where we have 40 people signed up already. We split them up into four groups. One group does entomology. Another group does casting out in the pond there at the PCCA. And then we have knots and fly tying. So
great.
Really, really good day.
Okay, we'll go into detail on that right after the 7:30 break. We're going to talk to Paul Fuller, too, about Lefty Cray. So you stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Maine Outdoors next.
Long gone.
Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors. And again, our studio guest is Mike Haggerty from Penobscot Fly Fishers. We'll be talking to Mike about some of the great programs being put on by the PFF. Right now, we have Paul Fuller on the line, I believe, from Durham, New Hampshire. Are you there, Paul?
I am here, Paul, yes.
Good evening definitely. To you, sir. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Well, no problem. When you called and told me about the subject matter, I had to be part of it.
Right.
It's very exciting.
Right. Before we begin, you can't see us, but I wanted you to know who's in the studio on our program tonight. We have Mike Haggerty from the Penobscot Fly Fishers, who also is a passionate upland bird dog guy, and he reads your columns in the Northwood Sporting Journal. He may have a question for you related to upland bird hunting.
All right.
And Diane, you know my wife Diane, she showed
Hi,
up.
Hi, Paul.
Once in a while she comes on, makes a cameo appearance, so she's here with us tonight. And then we have Bob Lehman, who used to be a member of New England Outdoor Writers Association.
I did. I knew Paul back then, too. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure. Many, many years ago.
It
Bob,
was, definitely. I know. Yeah.
Anyway, nice
many
to...
moons.
Nice to have you with us, Paul. For the benefit of the listeners who may not know, you do write a column, a wonderful column called... On Point in the Northwood Sporting Journal. And you knew Lefty Cray quite well. Lefty passed away here a couple weeks ago, and he was considered to be an iconic fly fisherman and just an outdoor writer of great repute. And we thought it might be appropriate with his recent passing to have you on just to tell us some stories about Lefty and some of your experiences with him and what kind of a guy he was. So the mic is all yours, Paul. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Paul. Lefty was a good friend, and I knew him for many, many years. I first met him probably around 1980. I was in the sports show business, producing sportsman shows, and invited Lefty to come and do some casting and seminar work at my shows, and that started the friendship. And we fished together all a couple of times in the Northwest Territories for pike, and I guess three times in the Bahamas for bonefish, and several times on both the Susquehanna and the Potomac for smallmouth bass. And so I got to know him very well and just thought the world of him. Lefty was just a straight guy. He was a straight up person, and his word was as good as gold. I always like to say that Lefty always shared his knowledge. A lot of people at his level would demonstrate give you a kind of a taste of their knowledge, but they would really not share it. But Lefty always wanted to share his knowledge, and I think that's what made him such a wonderful and popular person. He just was loved by everyone. He had a big smile and a great personality, and I will miss him dearly, but I know someday we'll be shoulder-to-shoulder casting again. And speaking of casting, I might just add that Lefty was he was an outdoor writer early on, and in fact, Joe Brooks. It's said, the lore says that Joe Brooks, the famous editor of he was what Outdoor Life, I guess. And Bob Lehman might know better than me, but Joe discovered Lefty and hired. Lefty was a smallmouth guide down in Maryland, and Joe hired him. And Joe was using a fly rod, and Lefty was using standard bait casting equipment. And once Lefty saw that fly rod, why he became very interested, and that was the beginning of Lefty's fly fishing career, as the story goes. Now, I've never heard that directly from Lefty, but that's what I've heard from other people. So it's kind of an interesting beginning, and Lefty really made his mark with his casting style. You know, if you enter an old tradition or practice, why you have to have something new and different to catch people's attention. And his casting style was much different than the traditional style of you know, a book under your arm and lifting your rod tip to the 11 position, and you drift back to the number one position on the clock, and then you forward cast from there. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cold, so hang on there.
Sure.
Excuse me. But, you know, Lefty enters the scene with this, what Ernie Schwiebert called a jock cast, and was always very, very critical of Lefty's jock cast. And Lefty always taught that you could take your hand back as far as you wanted to. And he said, forget about all this 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock and all that stuff. He says, he used to say, you don't have to know how to keep time to cast with me. You know, so you could take your hand back and arm back as far as you want to, as long as you did two things. One was never break your wrist, and always keep your hand on a level plane. Of course, that's how you throw tailing loops, is when the hand goes off of a plane. And so Lefty, that was his technique, and he taught that for years at sportsman shows, all across the world, really.
Paul?
Yes.
Let me share. This would be an appropriate time for me to share with you a quote that I excerpted today from some article about Lefty.
Okay.
This is what Lefty said with regard to casting. This is a quote from Lefty Cray.
All right.
Most people cast so hard they look like monkeys hoeing cabbage. He said, cast any harder and you'll tear your underwear.
Right. That was his favorite line. You don't have to tear your underwear to fly cast. That was a favorite line he had. I probably heard him say that 100 times at the sportsman shows. That was something. He was just a great guy. You know, one of the shows that I used to produce was in Worcester, Mass. And one year we had elevated the stand at the end of the pool for him to get up on. And he got so wrapped up in casting and teaching that he fell off that and cracked cracked his rib.
Oh, no, that's not funny.
Edge of the pool. And I had to take him to the hospital. And here we are at 11 o'clock at night waiting in a hospital. And he's in pain. And I asked one of the people there, I said, would you go back and ask any of the doctors if they're fly fishermen? And she says, what? I said, would you go back and ask the doctors if they're fly fishermen? We've been sitting here for an hour and a half, and if they knew who I had out here, they'd want to see him. Do you know, within about 60 seconds, the doctor came through the door and said, I hear Lefty Cray's out here. And they took care of him right away. So he's just a wonderful person, and all the people he would get out of a boat and get in your boat to help you cast if needed.
That's great.
He was just ready to help anyone at any time. And
one thing that surprised me, I read that when he came to Maine, he was more interested in fishing smallmouth bass than he was trout.
Oh yeah, no, Lefty.
He loved the smallies, right?
Lefty would fish. Fish an adipose fin, but his two favorite fish were the smallmouth bass, and that's what he fished for on the Potomac and that on the Susquehanna rivers. I mean, that's what he did all the time, and he loved to come to Maine for smallmouth. Excuse me. And his second fish, of course, was bonefish. He loved the bonefish,
right?
And he the biggest bonefish I ever caught was with Lefty in his boat on Andros Island, and he was giving me instruction. He could see that fish, and I could barely see it, even though it was a big fish. And he kept giving me, and so, oh, come on, he said, Paul, now right over here at 10 o'clock, you know. And so he was as excited about someone else catching a nice fish as if he caught it. So that was a great thing about Lefty.
Well, we appreciate you. Great job sharing that information and the stories, Paul. We appreciate it very much. And it was nice to have you on. We'll have you on again sometime. I don't know, Mike, do you have any bird dog questions you want to put to Paul? You read his columns,
yeah, I
right?
wouldn't do it over the radio.
Oh? Okay, well, nice to talk with you, Paul. And
right, Paul,
again, we appreciate
you
spending your time with us.
And I appreciate being on.
All right,
take
care. Yep.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
Be well.
Thank you, Diane.
Yep. Okay, that was Paul Fuller. You can read Paul in the Northwood Sporting Journal, a column called On Point. And Paul really knows his gun dogs and how to raise them and train them. And he hunts all over North America, and he loves it. Our guest again is Mike Haggerty. We're going to talk more about Penobscot fly fishers, but right now Bob Lehman's reminding me that we have to, we'd like to share with you a commercial from General Appliance and Brewer. As you know, they've been sponsors of this program for many, many years, and they're a great place to do business. They're General Appliance, and they're located at 91 Center Street in Brewer. The place to go for both new and used appliances.
Absolutely,
right,
yeah. That's, yeah. And they, once in a while, they'll have a sale on dented and scratched merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they have electrical appliances as well, not just all gas.
Okay.
But their gas is their main deal over there, no question about it. Yeah. And they have compost toilets as well, you know.
They do.
Ride the wave, baby.
Ride the wave, baby.
And they have... And the honcho over there is Al Elkin. He's been running this program for many, many years over there. He knows his stuff. He's a great guy to do business with, and they have very fair prices. They stand behind and install all their products. And all of us here at Maine Outdoors... I'm not sure about Norm, but the rest of us... you patronize him as well?
Okay. Top shelf.
All right. And they're just great folks to do business with. We trust them, and we recommend them to you. We patronize them. They sponsor the show, and we encourage you, if you're in the market for any type of a new or used appliance, check them out over there, General Appliance and Brewer, 91 Center Street. If you want to call to find out if they have an appliance you might have in mind, the number is 989-3714. Number again, 989-3714, General Appliance and Brewer. And please don't forget that they're there, and they're great folks to do business with.
And you can buy one of our books over there as well.
That's right. They carry a complete line of our books
as well. They certainly do.
All righty.
Everything affordable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
Okay. We're back again with Mike Haggerty. And again, if you have a question for Mike, you can call in at 1-800-966-1039. Mike, before the break, you were telling us a little bit about this Fly Fishing 101. That takes place the end of this month, right?
Yep, next Saturday, as a matter of fact, the Youth Day.
Youth
for
Day.
For turkey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that's an all-day affair, right?
Yeah, it sure is. We start at 9 o'clock, and like I said, we have a full-day event of classes. We have 40 people that's already signed up. And we have, usually we have an entomology professor from the University of Maine, for instance, that goes way into bugs. And he's from New Zealand, so he knows all about catching big trout. Yeah, so he so can't make it this year. He's got one of his graduate students coming who's another big fisherwoman.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. And then casting is a guy that's a FFI certified guy that he's also a Maine guide, and he comes up. He's a member of our club, and he comes up and teaches casting. So this is top-notch.
You got Ron Plord working over there.
Oh, he
no, I don't think I'll be there.
Norm's there. Norm's always helping out somewhere. Yeah, that's a, you know, that's the thing I love about Penobscot Fly Fishers. They're great people. Yeah. You know, you go. It's an all year long programming. We take a couple months off in July and August, but the people are great. You fish with them; they're great. They'll do anything for you.
Absolutely.
And we're pretty active. We have over 120 people. And we do stuff all year long.
Do you really?
Oh yeah,
wow,
and a lot of them are family memberships. We're getting lots of not lots of younger people. We always want more, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
So
how would somebody join up there?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a Facebook page, so we have Penobscot Fly Fishers on Facebook, and we also have a website with a calendar, and there's a join page on there. And all you have to do is send an email to president@penobscotflyfishers.com, and I'd be more than happy to get you sorted out. Or you can go to our website and join, and that's penobscotflyfishers.com as well. And the calendar page tells you all our fishing events, which start next Sunday at Toddy Pond is our first official event of the year. And we have people that don't have boats that'll come. We just talked about trolling the other day. There's lots of people who have never trolled. I never trolled till I came up here, by the way, Bob.
Really? No kidding.
I read your book and I said, yeah, this trolling thing ain't real fishing. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then the first time I went out, I actually caught like four beautiful salmon.
Wow.
Which I'm spoiled, of course, because then now I'm paying my dues on the, teeth chattering, shivering sort of thing. But,
right.
So we try to get, we do a little bit of trolling. We do a little bit of stream fishing. We'll be up at Green Lake Stream with a lot of club members. After the fin clipping, we're all going fishing. And then we'll see you up there
we'll be there.
At Mother's Day. We go up there every year and either troll
there.
Or
I will
fish
be
the
there,
stream.
Yeah, yes. With my new waders. Yeah.
And new waders, yeah.
Brand new waders. I wanted to ask you, Mike, you heard what Paul Fuller said about Lefty Cray. He was a bait caster until he saw somebody fly fishing. And that sort of happened to me many, 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 many years ago. And once I started fly fishing, I got really hooked bad. And my dad used to love to troll for togue with hard, a lead line, big Murray spoons. And I'd do it like for 30 seconds once in a while down a Branch Lake. But fly fishing, I mean, I don't want to sound like a snob, but fly fishing, for those of you who have never tried it, it really gets into your blood, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And one
Why
of the things,
that?
I think it's different things for different people, but part of it is the Zen-like casting. There's no ugly places to fly fish, really. That's another big part of it up here in Maine.
Yeah.
It's something that, it's like golf, I guess. I never played golf, but I imagine that you could spend your whole life getting better at it, and you never get there. I mean, you get different degrees of competence. I mean, you think you got something sorted out in fly fishing and got it all squared away, and then you find out there's something else.
Yeah.
Like playing the banjo.
So there's that aspect of it. But the main thing we try to teach people, and I usually kick off Fly Fishing 101, I tell them, like, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see, you see this on movies or hear people that are all, dressed up with all this fancy equipment and stuff. Mm-hmm. Fly fishing is fun. It's fun. Get out there, get a cheap ride at Walmart, and do it. Mm. And I guarantee you, you'll get hooked. Because I used to bass fish all the time. I mean, I was going all over the country, and I would catch bass on, bait casting rods. And when I started catching bass, for instance, on a fly rod, I can't go back. I can't. I don't know why.
Yeah. When did you start?
Can't.
When did you cast your first fly?
Well, my dad was a fly fisherman. Yeah. So I vaguely remember being very, very young, but didn't understand all the mechanics that went to it like I do now. So I did it for a while, but, you know, when I was in the Navy going around, nobody fly fished, really.
Couldn't you fly fish off the stern of a destroyer?
You can, but the fly doesn't really go very deep. Because you're always going fast.
That's all a head troll.
But there was a bunch of us. All head full, right?
You were a skipper in the Navy. In my experience from the Navy, the skipper could do any darn thing he wanted to do. You could have fly fished off the stern of that destroyer and probably caught a blackfin tuna.
Yeah. That's what most people say. But to answer your question, I was stationed at the Bureau of Naval Personnel that was in Tennessee. And the Little Red River in Arkansas was right across the border. And a bunch of us would go there Friday afternoon, and we'd go there and camp out overnight, and we went fishing. And the first time I cast it, I mean, seriously, fly fishing, I caught fish until my arm fell off, and that was it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I couldn't duplicate that for many, many years after that, but, you know. So there was a group of us that we would fish the surf off the Hotel Del in San Diego. We'd fish overseas. We'd fish, and it just... There's so much to fly fishing. I mean, there's, you know, it's just so much to it.
Diane, what is it about fly fishing that you find attractive? What do you like? Why do you like it? Get closer to the mic, please, honey.
Focus, relaxation, the challenge,
scenery.
All of it. I watched Paul back when we were first married. And, of course, I didn't talk to him because he was focused on his fly fishing. But my first experience up in northern Maine, the pond was boiling, and we were fishing with dry flies, and I was hooked.
You were instantly hooked. Yeah, I can remember how excited you were about that. You were just so excited.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Norm, what attracts you to fly fishing?
Well, I think all fly fishermen will say they love the dry fly fishing, and that's hard to beat. I mean, when a fish comes up to the surface to take that fly,
there's nothing like that.
It's different. It really is.
There's nothing in the world like that.
I mean, I grew up. I grew up spin casting, and I still do on occasion, but there is an element to a fly fishing that just can't be compared. You can't compare it to anything else other than just fly fish. Give it a whirl, and you'll see what it is.
A trout on a small dry fly on a pond. What an experience that
out west too.
Cutthroats. That was fun out west, but it's better, more fun here catching brookies.
I think the focus thing, that's the other thing.
It's relaxing.
You hold your head up and you go, like, where did that last 4 or 5 hours go? Holy smokes.
Yeah. That's right.
Because
you know what amazes me? Is how much further a fly will go when you have a worm hooked onto it.
Oh, there's always some guy to rain on the parade, right? You can't do that. That's illegal, Jim. That's called garden hackle. It's against the law. The warden will write you up for that.
Your fingernails all dirty.
Yeah, you get your fingers dirty.
No, you clean them off. You put them in your mouth first, clean them off.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure Tim got to finish his thought.
Yeah. Did you finish your thought? Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I did. As much as I don't want to get overly passionate here.
While we're going around the table asking each individual why they love fly fishing, what about you, Bob? You've been at it for 100 years.
Oh, Lord, yes. When I was a kid.
Did you start as a kid?
Well, my father had a bamboo rod at the time.
Oh, did he, yeah?
He fished the Sandy River.
Yeah.
And, of course, we were down through rocks in.
But
I watched him, and it was, and of course, as you know, I've told you this many times, he'd come home with a creel full of the most beautiful fish I ever saw, and the speckled brook trout. Oh, man. And that was a mark on me that I'll never forget, and I just had to go after him after that, and of course, with a fly. But for years, I didn't fish a fly that much. We used to go down to Young's Pond in Otis, a friend of mine, and we pushed that old rowboat out there. A leaky rowboat, and we'd fly fish with my father's borrowed bamboo rod. And
you were a teenager at the time, or were you older?
I was 15, 16, something like that.
Yeah.
Larry Lagi, the artist, he and I would get down there. He was about 18 or so. And those memories are something else. And Bill Bowden, when I fished with him. But I fished everything in those days. I trolled and cast lures and all that stuff.
Yeah, did it
and
all.
Bill Bowden, when we'd travel, I traveled with Bill a lot. And he was a salesman like I was, and he was a, you know, a fly fisherman interned. You know, he was a the fly fisherman. And he's the one who really said, man, this is the way to go. And it sure was. And since those early days, I've done nothing else. And I had no desire to do anything else.
Mike, if anybody's listening and they want to, they'd like to try fly fishing, should they join the Penobscot Fly
Fishers?
Yeah,
they should give
fishers?
Us a call. Come to one of our monthly meetings.
Right?
First Wednesday of every month is our monthly meeting. Just come on by at the PCCA at 6 o'clock. Come on by. Or send me an email at president@penobscotflyfishers.com. And we'll get you sorted out.
And it could be anybody. It could be an old woman, a young woman. Could
anybody.
Be a
great bunch of people.
A teenager. Anybody,
yeah.
Right?
We have ladies there. There are some ladies there.
Oh, okay.
Where is the PCCA?
We have families. The PCCA is in North Brewer.
North Main Street, yep.
Yep.
Penobscot County Conservation Association. Yeah. Okay, so they're welcome to call you or get in contact with anybody with the
Absolutely.
PFA. And you're trying to get new people. You want people.
We always want new people because we want to keep it going. Don't want to wake up someday and find out that all this outdoor stuff is going away because it's not being funded through licenses or people don't have interest.
Okay. I don't know if we have time, but I have to. We always ask fly fishermen, what's your favorite dry fly?
I use caddis probably more than anything else,
Elk-air,
I would say.
Elk-air,
you can
caddis?
Use it almost, elk hair caddis. Yeah, you use it almost anywhere.
Most universal.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you anything else.
Well, what about
the radio?
What's your favorite nymph fly?
I use a lot of
pheasant tail,
hare's ear, pretty much.
Yeah,
barn special for streamers. I mean, that's you can't go wrong with that one.
Would you use a woolly bugger at Grand Lake Stream?
Definitely would I? Would.
Yeah.
If nothing else was working, it wouldn't be my first choice.
Springtime, it's a good thing. Black or olive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Now, you probably wouldn't get caught dead using a yellow retriever, right?
Oh, golden retrievers?
I mean, a golden retriever.
Of course. Hey.
You would?
I use whatever the fish go after.
Whatever they go
after,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not that much of a purist.
You'd even use a hornberg, probably.
The fish want, I'm happy to give it to them.
That's Paul's favorite fly.
That's
the
my favorite fly.
Great fly.
If I was going to have just one fly, it would be the hornberg. And we're out of time. Thank you for coming, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck with your program.
Thank you very much.
And next week, our guests are going to be turkey icon Stu Bristol, who's going to talk about turkey hunting, turkey calling, and Josh Cottrell, who's a local turkey hunter who really knows his stuff. And we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.